to the Gospel of John, chapter number 11, John 11. John 11, verse 43. When he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." Father, bless this word now. In thy name I pray. Amen. The Apostle John, every miracle that he mentions in here, it's called a sign. All these are signs. And the Gospel of John says more than one time that it's about believing. It's about believing what God said. For example, look at John chapter number 12. And verse number 37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Miracles. Do you remember what the rich man in hell said? He said, "Let me go back and warn my five brethren." Well, what would that have been? That would have been a resurrection, wouldn't it? And if you go to Luke chapter 16, you'll see what he's talking about. In Luke chapter number 16, verse 29, Abraham saith unto him, now this is important, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. This is the word of God. The word of God is a living thing. It gives you life. Now, I want you to turn to the book of Luke chapter 19 and verse number 40. Luke chapter 19 and verse number 40. He answered and said unto them, "I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." Now, this is a reference to archaeology in one sense. In plain words, the truth is buried over there in the Holy Land and all that area around there that authenticates the Bible. If you believe the Bible tonight, then you have an anchor for your soul. You have something that you can take hold of. We may not understand all that's happening, but we know who we believe, and we've got the Bible. And the Bible is a very important book in that sense. Look at Luke chapter, I've already covered that. I want to read something for you tonight. And some of you may be aware of this and some not. But listen carefully now to what I say when I read this. Fire and brimstone, Sodom and Gomorrah perhaps destroyed by cosmic fireball, evidence shows. Now they always try to show a naturalistic explanation for this, but that's not the idea. This is not a religious publication. This was brought forth by Professor James Kennett, University of California at Santa Barbara. All right. He's an archaeologist, a scientist. And he says this: all the observations stated in Genesis are consistent with a cosmic fireball. But there is no scientific proof that this destroyed city is indeed the Sodom of the Old Testament. But he does say that a city has been destroyed, and he makes some startling statements. And so, you know, I take that, I'll take it at face value and see what it says to us tonight. Santa Barbara, California. The biblical sin cities of Sodom and Gomorrah could have been destroyed by a meteor cloudburst that incinerated all 8,000 inhabitants. A fascinating new study suggests. The giant space rock exploded over the town 3,650 years ago. Now, Abraham's contemporary was 1,900 B.C. So they're a little off on their timing. But look what they say. Creating a fireball, scientists say the same event might also have given rise to the tale of Jericho's wall tumbling down as that city was just 20 miles away. In the Bible, God was said to have been enraged by the wickedness of the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah, raining fire and brimstone upon them. Now, it gets very interesting. Listen carefully. Now, there seems to be hard evidence that a heavenly event really did happen around that time. The cosmic calamity laid waste to the Jordan River Valley's northern slope, razing a huge 100-acre city to the ground. It also exterminated other cities and multiple villages. There would have been no survivors. The archaeologists suggest they had been blown up or incinerated with extreme disarticulation and fragmentation of bones. We saw evidence, listen to this, for temperatures greater than 2,000 degrees Celsius, says study lead professor James Kennett, University of California, Santa Barbara. An international team also found building materials and pottery shards melted into glass. Mud bricks had heat bubbles. These are all indications of unusually high temperature, which would have occurred during the biblical account of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. There was no man-made technology at the time that could have produced such astonishing damage. In other words, a building burning to the ground would never have gotten that hot. How was it so hot? Further proof was provided by the identification of melted metals, including iron and silica, in samples of soil and sediments. The settlement had hosted early civilization for thousands of years. At the time, it was 10 and 5 times larger than Jerusalem and Jericho, respectively. The extent of the cosmic airburst at Tunguska, Siberia, 1908, superimposed on the Dead Sea area, this accurately scaled image shows a cosmic airburst similar in energy to the one at Tunguska could cover a large segment of the Dead Sea in the Jordan Valley. I think one of the main discoveries is shocked quartz. There are sand grains containing cracks that form only under very high pressure. We have shocked quartz from this layer. That means that there were incredible pressures involved to shock quartz crystals. Quartz is one of the hardest minerals. It is very hard to shock. The fireball also explains the unusually high concentration of salt in the basement layer, which reached 25% in some samples. The salt was thrown up due to the high impact pressure, he adds. All the observations stated in Genesis are consistent with a cosmic fireball, but there is no scientific proof this destroyed city is indeed the Sodom of the Old Testament, says Kennett. The space rock hurtled through the atmosphere and exploded over the ancient city, explained. The researchers believe the disaster generated an oral tradition that inspired the written account in the book of Genesis. It may also have led to the story of the burning of Jericho in the Old Testament's book of Joshua. It is an incredibly culturally important area. It is where much early cultural complexity of humans developed. This is coming from the mouth of a man who's probably an evolutionist. And he's not trying to prove the Bible. But he cannot simply cast aside what he has found in that area. And I think what gets them the most, and it does me, this is the part that causes me to believe, not necessarily a cosmic fireball. If God wanted to use that, that's no big deal. That's not an issue with me, how he did it. But what makes me believe that we have something genuine is the enormous temperatures involved. Enormous. It takes 2,700 degrees to melt mild steel. You realize that? When you put iron and produce steel in a furnace, You have to have a lot of different elements involved. Oxygen, for one thing, fed into that thing to get that temperature that high. They had no way. 1,900 years before Christ, they had no way to produce that kind of temperature. You know what it says? It says that God Almighty may be showing us bits and pieces because of the time we're in, because these things are coming to light just in the last few weeks. Now, here's some comments. I always like to go down and read the comments about something like this. Here's one comment. Another fairy tale. Karma, not God, rewards or punishes in this life or the next. See how quickly they discharge that? The soul does not know time, but merely records growth. Enough growth promotes you from repeating this dreary plane over and over again. Just an opinion, not a fact. What he's talking about is reincarnation. And this is where you get the caste system in India. You have a group at the bottom of it that's called the Untouchables. And then you have the elite at the top. And the elite wouldn't even let one of them walk in their house. They wouldn't let them get around them. Because they believe in incarnation, reincarnation. Therefore, they believe if you show up as something like that, it's because in a previous life, you deserve what you got. It's that idea. And you have to live it out. So, he rejected this as a fairy tale. And that's amazing. I wonder if he would say that to that scientist, that it's a fairy tale. I wonder if he'd say that. Here's what another one says. What we can be sure of is this. If there is actually a God, and I believe there is, and believe in His Son, He is truly the God that created all things, and I believe He is, then a God like that certainly has all the tools at His disposal to accomplish anything He wants to exercise His will and intent. Some people call that supernatural. There's nothing supernatural about it. If God wanted to destroy Sodom, He could have. As I said, He could have used anything in His arsenal to accomplish that. Anything from a meteor to merely speaking the word. Again, this is simply a logical deduction. If you presume that there is a God, that being the God, He must have certain capabilities far beyond what we can imagine. And that capability must include something as trivial as His powers might be considered as destroying a city like Sodom. Easy peasy, as one may say. And he finishes with this. Destroying Sodom, nothing to it. Creating a galaxy or the universe, that's impressive. That's pretty good. That's impressive. And there's a lot more comment here, and you're welcome to look at this after the service tonight. There's a lot of interesting information. But what I marvel at is how that all of this is beginning to come to light now. Timing is everything with God. And there's a reason for all of this. Biblical archaeologists now. These are biblical archaeologists. These are men with a Bible foundation. They know the Scriptures. They've been trained in the Bible. They say they have found Mount Sinai, where God handed Moses the Ten Commandments. And here is why they reveal four bombshell clues. Biblical archaeologists claim to have located the holy mountain where Bible says God gave Moses two stone tablets inscribed with the Ten Commandments. They believe features and archaeological remains on the site in Saudi Arabia directly line up with the passages in the holy tome, some of which are fenced off as protected areas by the Saudi theocratic regime. And here they are. They have found what they believe is Mount Sinai because they have found an altar. And that altar is only in one place. That altar is in one place. And there's a golden calf. There's a calf that's etched in the stone. And that's the only place it is etched in the stone. Now, do you remember reading the book of Exodus? That they worship the golden calf? That's Apis, the bull. They brought him out of Egypt. These be thy gods, O Israel, that brought thee out of Egypt, Aaron said to them. They have found a mountain. The top of it has been burned black. Just the top. fire has come down upon that mountain. The mountain they're calling Sinai. What would do that? It was the Bible in the book of Hebrews talks about that fire that comes down upon that mountain. And then there's a split rock. Do you remember the children of Israel wanted rock water? And this is quite a remarkable thing. You ought to look at this. This is a split rock. And it's quite a profound thing. Let's see if I can find it here for you. There it is. Of course, you can't see much, but this is the rock. Okay? It's split right down the middle. You remember what happened when Moses smote that rock? It split right down the middle, and the waters came out of it. And then the Lord said to him the next time, don't smite it, speak to it. But of course, Moses had an anger problem. He had a temper. That didn't keep him out of heaven, but he had a temper. He called him a bunch of rebels, and then he smote that rock the second time. Of course, what he did by doing that is a profound thing that has to do with the finished work of Christ, because the rock gives forth fresh water, and water is the type of the Holy Ghost, and it comes forth from the rock, and we're sheltered in the rock, and he's the rock of our salvation. He's called the everlasting rock, you know, the rock of ages. And so the rock is certainly a type of Christ, and he's only to be smitten one time, one time. And that happened 2,000 years ago at Calvary. He will never be smitten again. When he comes back, he'll come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I want you to look at this. This is quite a remarkable thing. I'll just leave it up here for you, and you can see what these archaeologists have been looking at. And it took them a while to come to this conclusion. Here is the calf. Here's the bull inscribed on the side of a huge rock. And this is where they say they had offered up the rock. Now, notice these are all in the same proximity. They're all in one area, not scattered out over the place, all in one area. And there it is. And this is the only place in that whole area that has something like this inscribed in the rock. Now, I'm the kind tonight, I don't need this. I believe the Bible. I've said it 1,000, I believe the Bible without it. But when something like this does show up, I'm the first one to say, well, hallelujah, if God wants to use this to try to help somebody, then let's do it. Get it out to people and let them look at it. So I'll leave that here for you tonight, too. You can take that, you can look at it, and you can, I'll put them down here. I'll put this, one is the Sodom and Gomorrah, fire and brimstone. Just remember that it was so hot that it melted rock. It melted iron ore. It melted, and what was it they called it, that quartz? It melted that. And because it was so hot, and how in the world would it have been that hot? The only way it would have been that hot is for God to send fire and brimstone down upon Sodom. And you know something, folks? When something so profound like that happens, it sticks with people. And it's all through the Bible. Sodom and Gomorrah and the judgment on those people in the plain. And so it is. When you have this, it says, these things are written that you might believe, and believing have everlasting life. I think that's a wonderful thing, don't you? But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Did you know that when the Lord raised Lazarus from the dead and he came back out, they came in there, they flooded that place afterward. They came in droves to see Lazarus, see one that had been dead, that was raised from the dead. I mean, it reached out and people started believing. They started accepting the Lord. I mean, it was just like a tsunami. It just went everywhere, and people were flocking in here to see this and to see this man that was dead. Jews didn't like that. They didn't like that. And so it tells you here that they set about to destroy him. You remember when he said they set about to destroy him? And here's one of the hardest things in the world to understand. The men that were sent as spies by the high priest and the Pharisees and the rest of them, they went to the tomb of Lazarus. They watched him come forth from the dead. They watched all that had happened. Then they turned around And they went back and they told their bosses what had happened, but didn't believe. Do you remember what the Lord said to the rich man? What Abraham said to the rich man? He said, they have Moses and the prophets. They've got the living word of the living God. Do you know why the Gospel of John is segregated from the other three Gospels? And they call them the Synoptic, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Synoptic Gospels, and John 7. You know why? Because John's Gospel is written specifically to get you to believe. To get you to believe. And it's not written like Matthew is in a Jewish context, or like Mark is, where he just immediately sets about and performing his miracles, or as Luke, where he's the man, Christ Jesus. These are all good, and they have their place, and thank God for them. And that's part of the Holy Scripture. But John says, these things are written that ye might believe. And when you go through the Gospel of John, look at the miracles that are performed. Turns the water to wine. Look at that. Woman at the well. John chapter number 4. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that's speaking to you, I'd give you living water. This is Jacob's well. She said, our father Jacob dug this well. Where do you get this living water? What are you talking about? She was a Samaritan. She was a half-breed Jew. He said, he stood up in their midst and said, if you're hungry, come to me. My body's the bread of life, and my blood is the life. It's giving, life-giving. And he also stood up in their midst one day and he said, I am the light of the world. And this was during one of their feast days. He said, if you walk in my light, you'll never walk in darkness. And he touches all the bases that have to do with a complete faith in the Lord God Almighty. We're going through a hard time right now. It's a time that shakes your faith. But if you can see the hand of God in something, and that's always what I look for. You would not believe how many times I look at what's going on today and I say to myself, now what's God up to? What's he doing? That's what I want. I don't want some simplistic explanation that you get constantly from people who have a motive behind why they give it to you. The Almighty, Eternal, Absolute Being is doing something right now. And what's he doing? What's he up to? Why did he choose this time? Is the circumstances right now for this? Are we ready for the mark of the beast? Are we ready for a one world government? Are we ready? Are we at that door? See, here's the problem. We've heard this all of our lives. The Lord's going to come back. The Lord's going to come back. He's going to come back. He's going to come back. And I threw away a wheelbarrow, load of books, setting the date of the second coming of Christ. Every kind of piece of garbage you can imagine. I'm sure they made a lot of money. And it was all junk. Not a one of them get it right. Not a one of them. Not a one. But God's doing something right now. The president of this country, the president of the United States, has sent the Department of Justice, of course, with that, the FBI, to confront these parents over here in Virginia and other places that are upset over the mask mandate and the teaching of the critical race theory and other things. They say for public consumption, oh, we believe everybody should have the right to speak. But on the other hand, they turn around and call these people domestic terrorists. Now, what are we doing? What's going on? This is what's called totalitarianism. Totalitarianism. This is what a dictator uses. When they want to know how much money that you've got in your bank account, you know about that? Did you know now that the Biden administration has gotten this country, that wants to get this country into a huge debt by trillions? I think the last one they're dealing with is $3.5 trillion. All right. Now, who's going to pay for that? Well, as he ran, he said, nobody that makes under $400,000 a year will have anything to do. Well, how about your gas going up a dollar a gallon? How about this inflation that's eating up your money? But that's not the issue. That's not the issue. They want to be able to go to the banks, and any transaction that's over $600, they want to trace it. That's totalitarianism. You know, there's such a thing as freedom of privacy. Privacy. And that's being taken away from you. Now, why? At least he was honest. At least the Democrats, who are going to load you up with this deficit, at least they're honest on that one. They say everybody's going to pay their fair share. And so we're going to find out how much money you're making or how much money you've got. So we're going to go to the bank account and we're going to check you out. How do you feel about that? Does that bother you? Go out and vote for another Democrat. These people, I've heard a few of them complain now. I thought to myself, don't complain. You deserve every bit of it. You deserve it all. That's not saying the Republican Party's my savior. They're not. But if I got two dogs, one of them is at least washed, and the other one stinketh, I'm going to take the one washed. They're both dogs. How about you? In other words, the lesser of two evils. That's where we stand. What's next? What's next? Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did. They nominated a Russian. Do you remember all of that collusion with Russia that the Democrats wore out for 2 or 3 years? And it was no fact to it? What if they'd done that? All right. Politics is not going to save you. The Lord is going to save you. But for him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. There is no way under the sun that I could vote for one of these devils. And of course, that doesn't even mention the 60-something million babies that have been aborted in Roe versus Wade. And now the Supreme Court is supposed to re-examine that. They're supposed to re-examine Roe versus Wade. Norma McCorvey, I think her name was. And they're going to re-examine it. Now we have these conservative justices on the Supreme Court. And the baby killers are upset. And they're marching through the streets. The reason they're doing that is because they're afraid something might be done. And they're not going to be able to kill the babies like they have been. That's very interesting, don't you think? It is. It's very interesting. So, we've never known a time like this. And I don't want to be the bearer of bad news. I don't think it's going to get any better. I believe the Lord's going to have to come back, and that's going to have to be what counts for us. Amen. We're not going to change them. It's not going to get any better. The good old U.S. of A. that I was born into in 1946 is long gone. The nation you've known all your lifetime does not exist anymore. No, a monster has taken its place. So let's pray, even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen. The Bible said he'll appear the second time without sin into salvation for those that look for his appearing. I walk out of the house tonight, I walk out there and I say, maybe now. Maybe today. On my way home as I drive, maybe now. Maybe today. At any time. Always on your mind, looking for his appearing. He may come. Maybe now. Maybe right now. Wouldn't it be wonderful if I disappeared right in front of you? You're gonna disappear too? I was hoping you'd say that. All right. Well, God bless every one of you. Thank you for coming out tonight. Remember these prayer requests. We have a special.